Today's psalm reading is 112, 1 through 10. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and in their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid in the end. They will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing.
Often teaches with images that seem small and ordinary. Salt, lamps, cities on hills, things people touched every day. But he uses them to speak about something extraordinary, the way our lives shape the world around us. This passage asks us to consider not just our faith, but our impact. Not just what we believe, but what we illuminate, what we preserve, and what we reveal. Let us listen with open hearts to the word of God from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's a question that at some point in life, I feel most of us struggle with, myself very much included. Maybe we'll call it a midlife crisis or an existential crisis. Who are we in this world? Not just in the privacy of our homes, not just in church, but out there, out at our jobs, on the street, in the passing lanes, with our families, in our communities, in our online spaces, in our everyday interactions. Who are we when we're exhausted? Who are we when we're frustrated? Who are we when no one is watching? And who are we when everyone is watching? In today's passage, Jesus is speaking to people who are just beginning to follow him. They aren't in positions of authority. They don't have influence. Yet Jesus looks at them and says something truly incredible. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not you should try to be, or one day you will be, but you are. Jesus isn't giving them a goal. He's naming them their identity. You are the salt of the earth. Sometimes we use the word salty with a negative connotation now, meaning bitter. Salt is tiny. It's not impressive. In reality, though, salt is very important. It was even more so back then. It preserves food and keeps things from rotting. It adds flavor. It melts the icy hardness, preserves goodness, and adds flavor to things that are lacking. Salt doesn't exist for itself. It exists to change whatever it touches. And that is Jesus' point. To be salt means our presence matters. Our choices matter. The way we speak matters. The way we treat people matters. Even when we feel small and insignificant, even if we think I'm only one person, salt works quietly. It doesn't draw attention to itself, but over time, it changes everything. But if it loses its saltiness, its flavor, Jesus warns it's no longer good for anything. Salt that doesn't affect anything loses its purpose. Which leads to the question that may be hard sometimes. Are we actually influencing the world around us? Or are we just blending in, trying not to make waves? Are we preserving what's good? Or are we absorbing the bitterness and cruelty and fear and doing nothing? It's very possible to look Christian, to sound Christian, attend church faithfully, and still not actually be salt. The next phrase Jesus offers his audience, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Light isn't forceful. It isn't argumentative. Light simply shows what is already there. Light reveals truth, what is good, what is broken, and what is beautiful. It's not be the spotlight and outshine everyone else. It's be the lamp. A lamp doesn't blind people. It helps them see. It guides them. A lamp doesn't get hidden under a basket. We are not given faith just for our own comfort. We are not given hope for our own survival. We are not given grace for our own healing. We are given light so we may help illuminate the path to God. The verse to remember, to take notice of, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not glory to us, not admiration for our morality, not praise for our good works. The goal of light is God, not self. Our light reflects God. When we love everyone well, everyone without exclusion, God is revealed. When we act with integrity, God is revealed when we forgive. God, tell the truth, show patience, and refuse cruelty. God is revealed. It's not enough to preach God into the world, to just speak the words. We need to embody God into the world, walk the walk, so to speak. For example, have you ever noticed how quickly kindness and inhibitions disappear when there's a screen separating us from each other? People say things online that they would never say to each other's faces. So how are we light and salt in a digital world? Sometimes being light isn't posting the perfect Bible verse. It's choosing not to pile on. It's refusing sarcasm. It's not forwarding or reposting a rumor. It's remembering that words written online are just as powerful and can hurt just as much as saying those words to a person's face, whether you know them or not. Another example of everyday life where being salt and light could make a difference is in a waiting room. People are generally not their best in a waiting room, especially if they've been there a while and are feeling rather poorly. So what does light look like in an ordinary inconvenience? A smile offered, a lighthearted conversation, a genuine compliment can all go a long way in showing light in a time when someone may be feeling a little dark. Then Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." He is letting us know this isn't an anything goes situation. It's not about doing less or lowering expectations. It's about going deeper. God wants more than your actions, too. God wants your heart, your motives, your inner world. God wants the light you spread to come from the inside. Later in the same chapter, Jesus will say things like, "It's not just about not murdering, it's about anger. It's not just about not committing adultery, it's about how you look at people. It's not just about loving your neighbor, it's about loving your enemy." Jesus raises the bar so high that eventually we have to realize we can't do this on our own, which is exactly the point. Being salt and light is not about trying harder. It's about being transformed. We don't become light by effort. We become light by proximity to Christ. We shine by reflecting the source. So when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," he's really answering a deeper question. Who are we in this world? We are not just consumers. We are not just voters. We are not just workers. We are not just parents, partners, or friends. We are carriers of God's presence in this world, which means every room we enter changes. Every conversation has weight. Every relationship becomes holy ground. Not because we are perfect, but because God lives in us. And here's the quiet challenge of this text. If we removed our faith from our daily life, would anything actually look different? Would your workplace feel different? Would your home feel different? Would your online presence feel different? Would friendships feel different? If not, then maybe the light is hidden under a basket. Maybe the salt is staying in the shaker. Jesus doesn't call us to escape the world. He sends us into it. Not louder, not angrier, not holier than thou, but salt and light. Quietly preserving what is good, gently revealing who God is. Consistently living in a way that makes people say, "There's something different about you." And when they ask why, we don't point to ourselves, we point to Christ. Because ultimately, who we are in the world is someone God loves, someone God is using to spread light, someone sent into the world to be salt and change everything we touch, to preserve good and be a guiding light to those who need it. So be salty. God wants you to. Let us pray. Loving God, sometimes we forget that who we are matters, that the way we move through the world can either add light or take it away. Remind us that you have already called us, already chosen us, already placed your Spirit within us. Help us to live this week with intention, to speak with kindness, to act with honesty, to love with patience, and to notice the people around us. Let our lives quietly point to you, not through perfection, but through grace. And when we feel small or unsure, remind us that even the smallest light can change a dark room. We offer ourselves to you again, trusting that you are still at work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.